Dr. Mark Malone from Advanced Pain Care on how the spinal cord stimulator blocks pain signals, bringing patients relief at last.
Spinal stimulation is an implantable device consisting of two tiny wires connected to a battery that are placed alongside the spine. These wires emit a tiny electronic signal that blocks the pain signal that travels on nerves.
Advanced Pain Care, 512-244-4272 or online, austinpaindoctor.com.
Matt and CJ. I don't know where I should go. I'm stuck in traffic. I'm well run down. I'm down. The radio is tuned to KROX. Let's go.
Yes, indeed. Let's go. It is just Matt and CJ.
That's us.
Sun finally poking out. It's going to be a beautiful weekend.
Dude, cannot wait. Are we officially past false fall and now entering the real fall?
Don't jinx it. Don't jinx it, please. I will say this. If you've got it on your plans to go check out the original Catfish Parlor, probably going to have to wait in a pretty long line.
Yeah, right off 183 McNeil.
No, it's not that far
up. South.
Yeah. It's before. It's kind of when you just get to the bend of 183, start heading toward Oak Knoll, stuff like that. Original Catfish Parlor, that used to be on the edge of nowhere. I mean, it used to be, hey, kids, get in the car. We're going to go on a road trip. We're going to go on a road trip and go up to the Catfish Parlor. Now it's pretty much the center of the city. But the original Catfish Parlor location is closing down, probably. Because of the way Austin has grown, I'm sure that about 85% of the ears that just heard that, it fell deftly upon them, right? Because you're like, a Catfish Parlor, I don't think of, isn't there one over here? Yep. There are actually two other locations. They're not completely closing up shop. But that original location where people used to take their kids grew up there, they would take family when family was in town, it was kind of a big deal because the Catfish Parlor was, when I originally got here at least, all you could eat. You walked in. And there were no menus. You just walked in and
They set down your plate.
You decided what cold long neck you wanted. You want Lone Star or you want Budweiser? That might have been it.
Maybe a curse.
And I want to say it was maybe around 11:25, 11:95, something like that. You just sat down and you just ate. Well, if you
fried
were,
shrimp, fried catfish.
It was just catfish in the beginning. That was it.
No hush puppies? No.
No, it was hush puppies and fries. Now, I'll say this. If you were an amateur, you were eating fries and hush puppies. These pros were going catfish only. Yeah. That's where the money is, mm-hmm. Yo. And anyway, that place has been open. I read somewhere it's been open since early 70s. Let's just split the difference and say in between. Let's call it 73. Could be 72, could be 74. You gonna split the difference with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks
for allowing it. Anyway, been open forever. The gentleman who owns it says, "Hey, look, I'm getting up there in years. I've been battering catfish fillets for damn near a century. I'm done." And he just said, COVID and all that stuff and restaffing and everything's just kind of kicked him in the scrunt enough where he's just like, "Look, I've got us past the worst part of it, and now we're gonna close up shop." But the word got out a little earlier this week, and I thought, you know what? I might stop by there for one last, get a picture. It's one of those places, too.
It's a different kind of building. It doesn't fit.
It's made out of metal.
It doesn't fit everything around it.
No.
It's clearly grown and turned into shopping centers and neighborhoods.
Well, everything's strip centers and fancy. I mean, 183, that was Cedar Choppers out there, okay?
There was nothing north of 183 back in the day.
Do you know the term Cedar Chopper?
Yeah, from Cedar Park. That was all the hilly woodsmen.
Yeah, Cedar Chopper was an insult.
Redneck, yeah.
It was below that. I mean, it was considered to be the hills have eyes kind of people.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a whole lot going on out there. I can remember, I mean, you could drive out there. There was a Kirby Lane to hell and back. And then, they started building some neighborhoods. But those neighborhoods, like Oak Knoll neighborhood, I think. I mean, that was so suburban. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was in the middle of nowhere. Anyway, I guess word got out, and I was talking about it, mentioned it with somebody, and they said, yeah, we tried to go tonight. We stood in line for like 45 minutes.
And then bailed.
We just took a picture inside the door, and then we bailed. Because
all right, bye.
I think everybody who has been here for a long time, you know, probably those folks, especially anybody who's been here 20 years longer, something like that, has spent went there at some point, has some kind of attachment, and decided, well, let's go check it out one last time. I don't think this is not one of those tragedies where people go, oh, woe is us. It's a guy who wants to retire. His son, I know, owns a version of the Catfish Parlor up in Georgetown. There's still the original Catfish Parlor. The same ownership has one down
Lady Bird Lake where they get the catfish.
No, fresh. That's not what happened, CJ. Don't spread the bad rumors. They get it from the gutters and the alleyways down on 6th Street. No, it's, I guess there's one down on, I think it's, I want to say it's on Stastny. William Cannon.
Sure.
Slaughter. I don't go down south much anymore. Sorry, ladies.
Once again.
And, but yeah.
Speaking of catfish.
Hey, that's rude. That's really rude. That's CJ Morgan, who pretends to be a nice guy, but clearly he's a sexist pig.
Oh, you didn't let me finish. You interrupted me. I said, speaking of catfish, I'll go check it out later today and see if there's less of a line.
Maybe you'll take a young lady with you.
Mm-hmm. Or your wife.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Yet another twist. Today is not the greatest.
Uh-oh.
Not at all. Today in 1922 is the day that King Tut's curse was released upon the world.
Dang. That was nearly, it was 99 years ago?
Yes. Incredibly long time ago, since British archaeologist Howard Carter discovered the tomb, which he had been looking for since 1891. Most Egyptian tombs had been found by then, but alas, decades later, Carter and his workmen discovered the steps leading into King Tutankhamun in the Valley of the Kings, Egypt. And soon after, many strange occurrences and even deaths begin to happen that the locals said was the curse of Tut. Carter's prized pet canary was eaten by a cobra soon after.
Oh, that's clearly a curse.
Sir Bruce Ingham.
I'm sorry, Carter, what?
Sir Bruce
Ingham?
Sir Bruce Ingham. Carter's friend received a paperweight made of a mummified hand. Like, why would you send that to anyone in the first place?
Because you're a creepy person. I mean, I guess we don't think we cared the same way about human remains 100 years ago.
Probably not.
A little better about remembering, hey, that's a human being. You can't send their hand via mail.
Oh, it was a cool trinket for a moment, and then his house burned down.
Oh, did he try to use that hand as an ashtray?
Perhaps. You know that embalming fluid can be a little flammable, even all these years later. The worst was Lord Carnarvon.
I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
Lord Carnarvon, sponsor of the dig, died of a mysterious blood poisoning soon after. Whoa! Carter did not believe in the curse, as many of the Egyptian tombs were considered to be... The legends were there to keep grave robbers out, basically, and that's kind of what Carter tried to tell people. It was said, however, that the news of the day sold more papers writing about the curse than the discovery itself. So the lesson of this, fake news has existed for centuries.
Yes, it's always been around.
That's pretty much the reasoning behind the curse.
Did you know that King Tut wasn't in a pyramid?
No.
Yeah, I didn't. I always thought he was in one of the pyramids.
No, not everyone was. Sites and tombs and everything like that. And I think King Tut, even because his death was kind of mysterious, they believe he was murdered by someone in the royal family, perhaps even a high priest. And I believe his tomb was moved a couple of times, and there was even a secret one to prevent the body being exhumed.
Yeah,
and
what I'd read
desecrated.
Is that, you know, most of the kings had very high-end tombs. Since he was murdered and his tomb wasn't ready, they just kind of buried him in like a regular old place. And it was nice. I mean, they put some jewels down there, some gold.
Yeah, well, he was also
a couple of dogs.
That happens with a lot of when usurpers take over the throne, they tend to. You know, not necessarily give the person who they just killed or taken over from the proper burial rituals.
Because they don't want a space where other mourners can go and collect.
Make it a rallying cry. anything like that, or to perhaps even attention to a recently deceased ruler.
Mm.
Yeah, no big parade. Well, there you go.
Well, sorry about that, King Tut. Could have won a Grammy. Buried in his jammies.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Well, a return to pre-COVID normalcy just got a whole lot closer.
Did it? I'm seeing nothing but arguments on Facebook.
Are you?
And the bizarre thing, I've seen this no less than three times since last night. What happened to my body, my choice?
Well, what I'm going to say and why I'm going to say that we just got a lot closer is that the CDC just okayed a vaccination dosage for kids 5 to 11, which was the last sort of remaining group
that hadn't been able to get them,
I don't think that we'll, I don't know this for a fact, but I don't think we'll ever vaccinate kids under 5. A dosage was approved, has been tested, deemed safe in for kids 11 through 5. And that's pretty important because out of all the groups out there that are most likely to rub their nose on their sleeve
and
touch stuff and touch doorknobs. Now, I'm going to say this, and this is going to upset some people who are still very afraid of COVID. And I'm sorry to say this to you. But if you want to espouse things like follow the science, well, then you need to follow the science. The likelihood that any kid between 5 and 11 was going to end up dead from COVID, it's not a 0% possibility.
It's pretty low.
It's remarkably low.
Yeah.
It's remarkably low. The possibility of a child contracting COVID and then ending up with any kind of long-term effects, remarkably low as well. I think the total is around 250 in the state of Texas out of, I don't even know what kind of high numbers we've had of kids getting sick.
Worry more about the kids getting it and giving it to Meemaw or something?
Boom,
is that kind of
boom. It's not even Meemaw. It's really...
Or you.
Amount,
you got two kids.
What we're having and what we're, where we've really been able to not kind of nip this in the bud is... Couple of kids get it at school. No one gets really sick, but then it goes to home. Or somebody gets sick at home, gives it to a kid. Kid doesn't really show the symptoms the same way an adult was.
Yes.
They give it to another kid. That kid goes home. Boom, now you've spread it. That's a way to kind of... So you're trying to tamp down on all of those loose ends, if you will, to just slow down the spread. Multiple doctors have said, hey, if we can get vaccination rates up above 70%, we really think that we can get what we call a herd immunity. Adults over 20, we are pretty close to that number, I think, in Texas now, over that 70%. Teenagers are still coming along. It remains to see how many. I mean, you got to assume if every parent out there that is, for whatever reason, whether it be a political, religious, health, that they've decided not to immunize themselves, there's a very good chance they won't immunize their children either.
Yeah,
I don't know, though. Though, what I talked to my own pediatrician, and she said that she's had a remarkable number of parents that have come in, been more concerned about their parents. These are kids who are older than 12. And my pediatrician said, I've actually vaccinated quite a few kids whose parents weren't vaccinated. And then eventually the parent came in and said, well, will you vaccinate me here? I think I'd feel better about it here. Why is that funny?
It's just weird. Why would you go to a pediatrician to get vaccinated?
Hey, what? I don't care what it is.
I guess if you're more comfortable with them as your doctor.
I think it's about building trust. And most people don't have a GP. If you want to come down to pure numbers, the majority of people do not have a GP. They go to a doc in the box or they go to a walk-in clinic. They don't have a doctor they really can talk to a whole lot and trust. And really, most of the information they get has been from Facebook or family and friends.
As we know, the doc in the box doesn't necessarily have the best bedside manner.
I took you there our first week of
it
this
was
show.
Not great. I think a big problem with this is it's hard to believe what you can't see. Like, why can't this virus just be easy, make your skin necrotic, make it to where you start eating brains so we all know who has it and who doesn't?
Well,
simplify this crap
next time. I get that. Here's the thing. I think it will, even if it's just 30% of kids at that age are vaccinated, or maybe we can cross our fingers for 40 or 50%. It will really, really, really slow the spread of the virus.
Okay.
And what's happening is the parents who are most eager are already getting appointments. Vaccination showed up already on Monday this week. They were already in
running
place.
Out, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah, because the CDC, it was in anticipation. The CDC knew they were just really a couple of days away from saying, okay, we've got back all the information we need. So they started rolling out these reduced doses. The dose is actually, I want to say it's around 30% the amount that you would find in an adult dose. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, well, smaller amount. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it affects kids, but kids tend to have better immune systems anyway. And so anyway, I'm excited about it. I've got both my kids.
Yeah.
I've got both my kids.
I mean, Christmas is coming up. I can finally go to the mall and go to the Lego store and touch stuff without worrying about getting the COVID.
Yeah. I've never really spent a whole lot of time worrying about my kids ending up in the hospital from COVID. I've got multiple friends who I want to brag, but I know a doctor. I got a doctor friend, and I've had, you know, when you talk to doctors and they can really set you at ease and say, look, man, here's really what the issue is.
Yeah.
And the issue really tends to be, and this is going to sound mean, but the issue tends to not be from a whole lot of households where both parents were vaccinated and were wearing masks and taking care of themselves. It really was people who had,
Steiner Ranch swingers.
You always have to come out with the insult. I was really just saying, parents who had less of a concern.
Insult.
Why does it have to be a swinger that you go to all of a sudden?
Just because, you know, if you're swinging, you're swapping spit and snot and other things, and you know you're going house to house doing that.
Yeah, but
it's the lifestyle.
Yeah, but can't you bat away viruses with that rigid blue pilled hang?
I guess so.
Anyway, good luck to you out there if you're choosing to vaccinate your kids, and hopefully we can get through a whole holiday without with grandparents finally being a little safe.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Oh, look at that. It's time to win something. That's right. 512-835-1015 if you want to win something. We usually do this later in the day about 5:50, but since I got some extra Tame Impala tickets, that shows this Sunday, by the way, if you want to score Tame Impala tickets again, 512-835-1015.
You're so generous, just giving out, like, you get Tame Impala tickets. Impala tickets.
You've been hard at me a bit for giving everyone that calls in and plays tickets. So now I'm going to take two people. They're going to go head-to-head, and they either win or they lose.
Wow, that seems mean.
You told me to do that!
I tell you a lot of things. I don't mean them all.
Oh, well. Caller, who's this?
This is Kevin.
Hey, Kevin. How are you?
I'm all right, and I will be doing even better if I can win those Tame Impala tickets.
Wow, look at that.
I like the sound of that. Caller, who's this?
Nope.
Caller, who's this?
Hi, this is Marina.
Hi, Marina. Did you already win with us recently, Marina?
No.
Okay, that sounds like a lie, but I do remember Marina winning. But oh well. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to play a little bit of Outback Trivia, which we've done before, and we're going to do it again now. It's very simple. You buzz in using your name after I ask a question, and then you get a chance to answer it. You don't lose any points if you lose. Test your buzzer, Kevin.
Kevin.
That's simple. Good. Easy. Marina, test your buzzer.
Marina.
Wow, both buzzers working. We've really been lucky lately in that we get a lot of working buzzers.
That people have actually figured it out. Okay, are we ready to play?
Yes.
All right, here is some Outback trivia. Australia had a show similar to Lassie featuring Skippy, a hero who traveled from town to town saving people. What sort of animal was Skippy?
Kevin. It was a kangaroo.
Correct. You sounded very confident there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Tame Impala consists of how many band members?
Kevin.
Yes.
Four.
Incorrect. Still what? Kevin one, Marina zero. There's only one member of that band.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, yes. It's a lot of noise coming out of one person.
Yeah.
You aren't going to even give Marina a shot at it?
Oh my.
If I were to...
Kevin's all freaked out. He doesn't even care about going now. He's like, look, I'm not going to a concert unless I see four people.
Dude.
You think I'm going to go and drive all the way and then park to go look at one guy? Ain't going to happen.
No, I like their music.
I can just take the tickets now then.
Yeah, I like Marina's angle.
Look at that. Yeah. Hey, we'll just turn our mics off and let you two decide
it out
amongst yourselves. All right, If I were to murder a brown snake on the dunny, what does that mean?
You're going to barbecue a rattlesnake, what? I guess. Oh, no, no, you're going to take it.
Marina, you want to ring in?
Oh, Kevin.
Kevin, you already had your shot. Marina.
Oh, I have no idea.
What does murdering a brown snake on the dunny mean down in Australia?
Okay, well, it means to go to the bathroom. A good old deuce of number two. You are both going to answer this one. I'm going to start with you, Marina, because you've been quieter. At Outback Steakhouse, how much does their new Bloomin' Fried Shrimp cost? Closest without going over.
$14.99.
What is your guess, Kevin?
I think it's about $13, if I remember right.
He seems like he's been there. Actual retail price, $12.99. Both of you have gone over. This terrible game is still happening. Current score, Kevin 1, Marina 0. Here's your final question. This is either going to end in a tie, which means we go to the coin flip, or we will have someone going to see Tame Impala.
Oh, yeah.
Please do not confuse the people of this country with Australians.
Kevin?
Yes.
I think it's England?
No! Marina, a shot to tie it up and force the coin toss?
I just remembered who it was.
That's okay. It's not your turn. Marina, you want to guess?
Oh, my goodness. Ireland.
Oh, incorrect. That means in one of the worst games we've ever had. Kevin, you are the winner.
Oh, my God.
1-0.
Wow, Kevin.
1-0.
How does it feel, Kevin?
I almost feel bad. You should.
You're getting to go to a concert instead of wonderful Marina. Simply because you knew one question more. I mean, I don't want to harp on Marina. She sounded like a wonderful and fun and cool person. She just didn't know anything about not about nothing, just about the five things that we asked.
Yeah, the five dumb questions, which, I mean, to be fair, you were only 1 cent off from winning the game. You obviously have tried the Outback Bloomin' Shrimp.
Yeah, because it's $12.99, and you were like, I think it's right about $13. You're like, well, it is right about that.
Yeah, I've been there a few times.
He shamefully says, hey.
I like the way you said that with a little bit of shame.
We're going to put you on hold. Spinny's going to get your info. That show is this Sunday. Now I see why we do this later in the day. Everyone's a little more awake, ready to go.
This is great. I thought everybody nailed it.
Okay, coming up, 550 more chances to win your way in to Tame Impala, just Matt and CJ.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
Go green or go home, and you can go home up to 1,000 miles, not even need to recharge with the new Aptera vehicles that are promising to come out any day now.
Sweet.
Yeah, a lot of people are into EVs. You've seen all kinds of, there's Polaris, there's the Tesla, it's the Tesla truck that maybe is supposed to happen, I don't know. They're supposedly are building a factory here in town. I haven't seen it yet. The Rivian is another vehicle. The chargeable F-150. Lots of stuff out there, right?
Yeah. Electronics are back. And for those of you that don't know, EV stands for electronic voice phenomenon. That's how we find ghosts.
No, that's not what that is at all.
That's not the story you're doing right now?
No, that's not what I'm doing right now.
Oh.
Yeah. No, what I'm talking about are, actually, this is an SEV. What do you know what SEV stands for?
A Subaru vehicle.
No, it's a solar electric vehicle. This is a car that runs off the sun.
That's tight.
Uses the sun to charge its batteries. Conceivably, you would never have to plug this car in.
But you still can, I guess, because it's not always sunny.
Right, but it holds enough a charge, and if you aren't driving every single day and around, you could conceivably never, ever plug this car in and then just keep driving it and driving it and driving
it. That kicks ass.
Yeah, it's like a really cool solar watch. You remember how cool it was to have a solar watch in school right before a kid punched you in the face for having it? Here's the deal. It's one of the most complicatedly named vehicles I've ever seen. The Aptera unveils the Luna, which moves from alpha to beta, but it's the Aptera Alpha vehicle. It's so insanely confusing.
Then they're not going to be able to market it. No one's going to buy it. Also, isn't the Luna the moon?
Here's a problem. When you get really smart engineers together, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're good at things like marketing and making things simple for people.
Exactly.
Hence why Apple ended up eventually beating out DOS and IBM or whatever, because they were naming computers the V2, 26, 486. And Apple called their computer the Mac. Mac 2.
There you go.
Yeah, it worked out pretty well for them. The iMac. It's a three-wheeled vehicle. And I want to point out
that trike?
It doesn't look anything like a car. It looks like a teardrop that you sit inside of, a kind of a flattened out, squared off teardrop.
That's a very futuristic sounding vehicle. I can see that.
It's nutsy futuristic. It has two wheels in the front. And it can garner 700 watts of continuous charging power. And it's got very small cargo space. You can reserve an Aptera of your own.
We're not going to be able to fit a Matt and a CJ in this car.
It's made to hold two people, but not a Matt and a CJ.
Yeah.
You could put your dog in there with you. They say it's going to have a range of around 1,000 miles. They just put out a video with the noted car head, Jay Leno, driving around in it, and Jay says, I got over $4 million in funding so far, 13,000 reservations as of today. That means they're doubled in just the last couple of months, and people seem really excited about it, and it looks cool. It's definitely going to turn heads. I would never own one. One, I probably couldn't afford it, whatever it costs. Two, it's not really practical for a guy who has two kids. But it looks fun. It's definitely a head-turner. I'm imagining two types of people owning this. One would be like young tech bro.
Yeah.
Because it's got to be fun to pull this up at the valet. The other is, you know that old 75-year-old white guy in an L.L. Bean jacket and his wife, and they go out on a little ride on Sunday afternoons.
Absolutely. Still wears, like, almost looks like a pilot with the goggles and the scarf blowing.
But he's got some kind of car that he's been tinkering on for years or whatever, you know, and they go out. And you see him around town always, you know.
360 every Sunday.
They're out at a brewery or something. Mm-hmm. That guy's getting one of these for sure.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, hats off to these folks. Look, I don't think this car is necessarily going to change the landscape, but if they can learn some stuff from operating this from a car, I think. Oh, sorry, I accidentally hit start on the Luna.
No, that was just me snoozing after listening to this whole story.
Well, okay. Well taken. Goodbye. We'll never do Go Green again.
Hey, you know where a good place to learn how to make those cars would be?
My balls?
I was going to say Southern Careers Institute, if you want to. Maybe we need a transition before that.
101X, Matt and CJ.
It is time to get crypto rich or die trying. Every week at this time, Matt and I will pick a cryptocurrency, not based on any research or anything we know. But if we like the name, or if it's got a goofy meme attached to it, or, you know, maybe we will have some professionals come in here and kind of teach us. So, Matt, last week you had yet to download Robinhood or Coinbase or anything like that. So you didn't really start competing with me per se. But I will say my Shiba Inu was up pretty heavily. I turned my 5 into 15 really quick. And now it's back down to just over 5.
Nice.
So you haven't, you're still in the race is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. All I have to do is just make up that $5 on something, because you're going to get another 5 today, right?
Yeah, I actually already did that. What did you invest in today?
I need your help with something. I have an issue. It's called maximizing. Are you familiar with maximizing versus satisficing?
Sure.
What is it?
It's where you stretch it to look bigger.
No, that's different.
Okay.
That is called lying.
Okay.
Maximizing is satisficing. Someone will say, oh, I need an app so I can buy some stuff just to do this dumb radio bit. And then they'll just go and they'll download an app and then they'll just do the dumb radio bit. Maximizers are the kind of people who have to research every single available option to make that purchase and make sure that you're making the right one, because I have a weird fear of making any mistakes. So, that being said, while you've been out there having fun with your app, I have read about
everything.
Every single effing available app I can put on my phone. And some then allow you to do this. Some don't allow you to do this. Well, if I got that one, what if I needed one day to be able to do this? It is, I'm absolutely panicked and I can't even move. So I just need you to tell me the app to download right now.
Robinhood and Coinbase. My only problem, I have a problem with each of them. Robinhood only
comes
has
to maximizing.
Here we go. Well, I do want to explain it because it's fun to do, and we're doing this as a bit. But my problem with Robinhood, it's by far the easiest to use, but there's way fewer cryptos. And when I was looking up cryptocurrencies based off goofy names and memes, Coinbase seemed to be the best one.
Okay.
But I've noticed that Coinbase charges you 99 cents per every transaction.
What?
Which might be, yeah, that's ridiculous amount for doing $5 transactions. So there might be a Coinbase Pro, or if anyone has advice, maybe I need to put more money into the account. But $5 or 99 cents per transaction once a week for a $5 stupid radio bit's kind of crappy.
Yeah, that means you're losing 20% of the money you're putting in right off the bat.
Yeah, well, spending an extra 20% on that five.
Right, but then Coinbase is allowing you to actually purchase the crypto, whereas Robinhood, you don't actually purchase the crypto.
You do purchase
rights to the crypto.
No, you do, but there's not as many, and it's also easier to, from what I understand, again, to trade.
Okay. Did you see the glazed over look I'm getting right now? This is how that happens anytime a guy talks about crypto. I get glazed over. I'm like, I don't know.
That's why we're not here to talk about crypto. We're here to throw our dumbass money on some dumbass memes and see who makes more in a year.
I don't know if I can even get over the hump of just what crypto
is. This was literally your idea.
I know. It seemed like a good idea at the time. Now I'm getting confused again.
Well, let me talk about my purchase today. I was in a meeting earlier and I was looking for a goofy name of a crypto to buy. And in walks this intern wearing a pink and white polka dot outfit.
What was his name?
And I just happened to notice there's actually a crypto called Polkadot.
Ah.
So it seemed like
kismet.
It was supposed to happen. Synchronicity, whatever.
Oh, the police.
I needed to do that. We're not on that station anymore. So I bought Polkadot today for $5, promptly down 0.5% already. It is valued at $54 a coin, so it's one that's been around a little longer. I looked into it, yada, yada. It does something about helping coins verify to other coins or something or another. Anyhow, my Shiba Inu and Polkadot are where I'm at, Coinbase, and of course, still repping the Doge on Robinhood.
Well, so, there you go, dude.
I'm going to be crypto rich.
You're way ahead of me already.
Or
I'm doomed.
Trying.
If you know what's going on, slide into my DMs.
Please.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
Do you remember Jennifer Ryan? She was one of the people that went into the Capitol building on January 6th. In fact, she's a Texan, and she made kind of a name for herself across the nation because she chartered a luxury jet.
Ooh,
to
an insurrection.
Well, I mean,
it wasn't. She said it wasn't an insurrection. It was.
Yeah, she went there and she basically put everything on Instagram. They were in a luxury jet. She took a couple people with her. She's a very successful real estate agent in the Frisco, Texas area, which is just basically is Dallas, right?
Yeah.
And then she was arrested and she kind of stood up for herself. She said, "Look," she said, "Do I feel guilty? No, I feel wronged. Like, I shouldn't have even been arrested. The FBI showed up her house." She's like, "I did absolutely nothing wrong. I did what I'm supposed to do because the election was stolen, and that'll be proven shortly. And then I'm going to get a full pardon." I don't know what this is going to say right here, but I'm going to play just a tiny bit off of this old news report here.
"So me personally, I do not feel a sense of shame or guilt from my heart from what I was doing. I thought I was following my president. I thought I was following what we were called to do."
She's referring to this moment.
So she said in that same interview, they said, "You know, are you worried about jail?" And she said, "I will never go to jail." And in fact, somebody even tweeted at her like that Oprah meme that's like, "You going to jail, you going to jail, you going to jail." And she wrote back, "Definitely not going to jail. Sorry, I have blonde hair, white skin, a great job, a great future, and I'm not going to jail. Sorry to rain on your hater parade. I did nothing wrong." Okay. She's going to jail. She's sentence was handed down just a few hours ago. And the sentencing judge said, your case has generated a fair amount of public interest. As a result, people will be interested to know what sentence you get. And that sentence will tell them something about how the courts and how the country responded. And I think the sentence should tell them that we take things seriously. I should note that she was not, there was no recording of her, like, breaking anything or tearing down any of the statues. She was not one of the people that went in and threw papers. But she did that thing that is always a little odd, I think, is anytime you're committing a crime, even if you're just not positive 100%, but if you think it might be, Facebook living your crime has always proven to not be good for anybody who's done it.
Every single time.
Every time you see somebody Facebook live their crime, my favorite is when somebody's in the middle of the crime and then the cops just appear in the Facebook live in the background and arrest the person. Anyway, today she's changed her tone and she said, I made a mistake and I'm really sorry. This is not anything that remotely resembles who I am. And in case you're wondering who she is, she's someone that has blonde hair, white skin, a great job, a great future, and she's not going to jail. Except, she is going to jail. 60 days. She's been 60 days in a pokey. She pleaded guilty to one of four charges against her. She turned herself into the FBI. They basically changed a lot of it. And since she kind of turned herself in and cooperated, they reduced the sentence quite a bit because originally the penalty could have been up to 6 months prison time, a fine up to $5,000. She's only fined $1,000, and then she has to make a $500 contribution to the architect of the Capitol. And I don't know what that means. It just says the architect of the Capitol in the article. And I was like, surely not
a dead guy.
The architect of the Capitol. I don't know if that is an organization that helps take care of the Capitol or if they've hired an architect to help repair some of the damage. Yeah. I don't know what it means at all because these people that made the report didn't follow up on that. They just put it as a capitalized thing, the architect of the Capitol. And I was like, I don't think she's not giving $500 to a dead guy, is she? Seems like a lot of money to give to a dead guy. Yeah.
Well, I got a serious question, though. Like, if a president steals an election, what are you supposed to do? Because I'm still a little pissed about Ross Perot, who my family heavily supported and donated to, and I think he was robbed by both the GOP and the Democrats, and I want to protest my American right to that.
What percentage of people, this isn't meant as an insult to either, I'm prefacing it with that, what percentage of people listening to you right now even remember Ross Perot, do you think?
Everyone.
Here's the thing. I got a chart.
Hey, look at this here.
He's built this incredible children's museum up in Dallas. And so my kids know Ross Perot simply as a guy who built an awesome museum that has really fun stuff and incredible architecture.
Yeah. Former owner of, I think, the Mavs, part owner of Cowboys.
In my kids' brains, Ross Perot is like the cool guy that loves kids, and they have no idea that he got clowned so hard on television
for running those infomercials that were nonstop.
Here's what's funny is that he wasn't that far off of a candidate like a Donald Trump. Really, it's just Trump was so much better about communicating in very short chunks. In three, you know, make America great again. That's it. Mm-hmm. And Ross was so involved in like information. He was like,
and having charts and talking way too long.
He would talk so much, and the most Americans were like, I don't.
Dude, Trump had catchphrases. Everyone had a nickname that he gave him. It was great. Crooked Hillary. That's the only one I can think of. Where's her emails? But yeah. Mastermind at
we
that
need to
stuff.
Come up with cool nicknames and talking catchphrases here.
For our radio opponents.
Fat CJ.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X. And now it's time for the Nerd Report.
I just wanted to say that, I'm a nerd.
Space tacos exist.
I'm intrigued and I'm leaning in.
Astronauts recently grew green chili on the space station and made themselves some space tacos with it.
I didn't know you were headed here, but this is funny because I almost had this selected for Go Green or Go Home.
Okay.
That we would be able to grow our space chilies.
Well, I just thought of it because, you know, you just finished Talktober. You're probably a few days out enough to where it's not going to make you sick talking about tacos. So,
no, and I'll tell you, it made me sick by the middle of it. And I just stopped talking about it altogether.
Yeah. Well, you know, you learned something for next year. But for the overall future, astronauts aboard the International Space Station had the pleasure of dining on space tacos last weekend. Tacos topped with green chili that was actually grown in space. And this is a big deal because as a part of NASA's plant habitat investigation, scientists are growing all sorts of things, several crops, including lettuce and radishes. But peppers and a few other are big accomplishments because it's harder to grow, the time and difficulty to germinate. And so being able to grow hatch chilies in outer space is a big thing. The tacos were not just the hatch chilies at all. There are a lot more things actually made. Proper tacos.
Oh, astronaut ice cream?
Yeah. That was for dessert, man. The tacos also included space-harvested bell peppers, tortillas from H-E-B, fajita beef from Space Cows, and rehydrated tomatoes and artichokes. Astronaut Megan MacArthur considers this, again, a huge accomplishment other than the brutal space they had the next day. The story, by the way, according to NPR. So, yes, we can now grow more flavorful things in space.
Did they say it was flavorful at all? And did anything? Was there anything in that article about why it's harder to grow peppers in space than to grow a space cow?
I mean, I might have ad-libbed a few things in there. It might have, you know, been just a little bit of my imagination, but
I hear you.
I do think it would be cool if they had space cows just kind of wandering around out there, little helmets on. I looked into it more, and I wanted to know, was the fajita meat just in a regular Ziploc pack from the store?
Is it just like that freeze-dried stuff?
Was it freeze-dried? Did they grill it?
Trust me, they did not have an open fire.
Yeah. On a space station.
That's just filled with oxygen. Yeah, it's not
but
happening.
That's kind of what's fascinating to me. It's like, how did you... was it just all poured out of a tube and cut up? Or, I mean, it's also zero gravity, so like...
Like, these are fun stories, but there's ever a part of you that just thinks... give it up. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
we're never gonna make
we're
it.
We're not doing this. We're not going into space. No one's going up there and gonna eat this crap food.
You know, it probably don't. Yeah, it probably doesn't taste that great.
Like, I just feel like we're so far away from the space travel that we think we're going to have.
I mean, but we could come close to the singularity, which is the moment where AI becomes smarter than us, and that's what is prophesized that will lead our civilization amongst the stars. And space tacos.
Isn't that how a Terminator started?
Oh, yeah, good point. Well, nonetheless, I think it's exciting because if you ever go on a road trip, what's the first thing you make?
A pit stop so that the kids can pee?
After that, you grab your breakfast burrito. You grab your little taco. So now we have that in space. It's exciting.
Reminds me of something. I'll tell you at another time.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
It's chilly for the first time this, since the summer began.
Yeah,
and that's got me in the mood for chilly. I just saw an article. There were some debates amongst some famous chefs. And they concluded that the state with the best chili is Texas, as it should be. I really don't think any other state can hold a candle to what we do here. We are the state that has the best chili, hands down. But it got me thinking, where are the places to get chili here in the city?
Yeah, not stuff at a tailgate, your friend's house. But
where can I go out and
eat?
Go get chili? Now, the article listed a couple of places. One I didn't even know about is Valentina's.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never seen chili in the times that I've been there. Now, I will say Valentina's...
Probably seasonal.
Well, they say it's on a rotating list, but I'm wondering if it rotates a lot more around when it's cool like this. I'd love to try their chili because everything they put out there... I love.
Mm-hmm.
You know who's not a huge Valentina's fan?
Who?
Spenny.
Oh, what the hell's wrong with that kid?
I don't know. He had one taco one day where he said, I don't know what the big height. And it's like, and they never go and went back. And I was like, come on, dude. We got to take you.
Should we do De Chilmber?
Ooh.
Where we eat chili every day for the month of December?
Can I just say that until my butthole heals from Toctober, I'm not doing any more food challenges.
You're not joining me for Bergvember? Okay.
I might. We'll talk about it. I looked up a couple of other places that are highly noted. There's a place called Sour Duck Market that's over on East MLK that makes a goat chili.
For some fancy chili.
I would try it. You know, the duck people, Odd Duck, Sour Duck, they make some fairly decent food. Of course, it'd be remiss not mentioning Texas Chili Parlor, as it's in their
obvious
name.
Great chili enchiladas, too.
I've eaten at Chili Parlor. I don't even know how many meals I've eaten there over the years, but it's got to be 100, 200. I mean,
pounds at least.
I used to go there every single Sunday with my family. We lived a little closer. And Billy's on Burnett has been noted.
I haven't had
their chili before.
It's pretty good. We've done some events there, and that's what I would kind of consider like dive bar chili. I wanted to toss Green Mesquite, which is right behind Barton Springs Saloon. They have some good chili, and I think it is a seasonal.
I've never seen it there.
Thing too.
Lucy's Fried Chicken apparently has chili. I haven't tried theirs, but I definitely will. And Cover Two and Cover Three were noted as well.
Fancy chili. Do you know what? I glanced at several best chili in Austin lists, and do you know what kept coming up?
Jim's.
Yep, yes.
I was getting ready to get to that.
Okay, sorry to cut you off.
No, you didn't at all. It was actually a perfect transition because that's literally where I was headed next. Apparently, a lot of food bloggers and stuff say Jim's has absolutely serviceable chili. Now, if you haven't been to a Jim's, Jim's is a time capsule. Mm-hmm. My favorite Jim's was torn down. It was the one under the freeway over here that then got turned into like a funeral home or whatever. There's another Jim's that's up 183.
183, yeah.
And that one, I've been there. That used to be an old haunt after shows at Cap City Comedy Club. So many comics and myself would go over there.
Because it's cheap, it's open late.
Open late.
You're probably not going to get in a fist fight like you might at a couple of other
chains. One of the reasons is that the old ladies that work there are a little tougher than they are at like an IHOP or a Waffle House. I'm not kidding, and I won't release their names, but I will tell you, I know of at least three well-known nationally touring comedians who have been asked to leave Jim's. And that's just what I've been there with them. Yeah, sometimes you have a little too much glug, glug, sip, sip, and then you go down to Jim's, and all of a sudden you forget you're not on stage anymore, and eventually someone from Jim's comes over and goes, I don't know which one of y'all is in control of him, but he got to go. He got to go now.
Yep.
So I will try this out, and then I'm going to mention this.
Wendy's?
No, I'm afraid to say it because I love Texas Chili Parlor. It's been my go-to forever. But here's the thing. I have a favorite chili that's not Texas Chili Parlor.
Dun, dun, dun.
And here's one of the reasons. You can get it for breakfast. And one of my favorite things in the world is really good spicy chili with cornbread. For breakfast, it's made out of chuck. It's made out of brisket. It's made out of Lone Star beer. It's the 24 Diner.
Oh, 24 Diner is great. Yeah, good
their
call.
Their chili is really, really good. It's a different kind of chili than what you get around. I mean, it's a little elevated, but I'm telling you right now, get it at breakfast, and then just say, "Hey, can I get a poached egg on the side?" And then you drop that poached egg in there. Break it open. Let that yellow run. My work here is done, my friend. My work here is done.
I don't want to shat all over these fine local institutions, but...
You are going
to
go with the Wendy's?
No. I'm going to go with the classic that I invented myself. If anyone else says they did, they're full of crap. But a Route 44 chili from Sonic. And it's not just a Route 44 chili, because that much chili in a cup is going to melt the styrofoam. What you got to do is have them layer in some tater tots, some cheese every now and then, little corn dog bites, and then just layer it with chili every now and then, and then...
Wait,
you have a delicious Route 44 chili.
You've pushed a button, and then you've explained to somebody at a Sonic to build that for you?
I've had managers who were listeners of our old station craft these for me.
Okay, because you say that to a 17-year-old, I think they're going to come out with a spork and hit you right in the arteries. If you want chili on a dog, may I also, especially because it's Thursday, double chili dogs at the Silver Medal.
Woo!
We didn't.
Yeah. Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
In my frustration to get to work today, I happened to find something again on BuzzFeed that explains a lot of us hate similar things. This is 10 items, things, actions, behaviors that are universally hated by everyone on Earth.
Really?
Yes. And I think I can agree with many of these. I know we both have a coworker who hates loud chewing, but recently I've noticed that I hate it as well. I thought it was just people with their mouth open chewing, but you can hear the jaw clicking sometimes.
You got the misophonia.
I got the misophonia, and it's grown on me over the last couple of years. I experienced this while hanging out at the ye olde Walmart to get some candy the other day. Slow walkers, when there's someone in front of you that just kind of weaves back.
Well, it's the inability to be aware of your surroundings and go, oh, there's someone behind me trying to get by me. When somebody has decided to take up the middle of whatever, it happens with cars, too. There's a guy this morning when
you're at HEB and you're trying to get through a parking lot, either a vehicle blocking it or someone's slow-ass pushing their cart. You know what happened to you this morning?
What? Some,
you said this morning.
No. You covered it.
Okay, yeah, exact same thing. This one, I don't know why it pissed me off, but it does. Group texts. Group texts where you keep getting messages or someone says, gives you the information and then like everyone has to heart it or give it a exclamation point, but not add anything else to the conversation. So instead, you're just getting chimes all day long. And I'm going to add one to...
You can leave those conversations. You can mute them. You're being a butthead right now. If somebody says, party at my place 6 p.m., if I don't heart it, then they don't know that I've received it and I've noted it. That's my RSVP.
I take that stuff. Well, it's not just that. It's just annoying when everyone has to respond to everything and then it keeps clicking and dinging all day. If I have something to say to that person, I will say it to them directly. Let me add something to this and throw Spencer under the bus.
Okay, whatever, Mr. Constantly replying all to... office emails.
Yeah, that's because I'm being funny. Let me throw Spencer under the bus and add this. When you have a group text message and one person doesn't have iChat on or have an iPhone. But I will say, I was in a group chat with a bunch of friends and there were two people who had Androids, and so every time someone clicked like, it would say CJ likes the whole paragraph. Right. So I just started copying and pasting the whole paragraph, and just I would constantly change my life. I ended up trolling it, and guess what? They both have right now
iPhones.
Being told to calm down, I feel like that always pisses people off. That
you should calm down though, because it sounds like you don't like people's behaviors unless you're doing them.
Yeah. But I'm doing them to point out crappy behavior. I'm doing it in a way that makes fun of those people.
Oh, is that what's happening?
I'm showing it.
Oh,
okay. If you're gonna clean the toilet, you gotta swim with the turds.
Wait, are you the toilet or the turds?
You know, I haven't figured that out yet. This one bothers me because it happened on my last plane flight, which was pre-pandemic. Maybe it's a little better. But people who clip their nails in public.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yeah, okay, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I didn't know that that's something that who would have the balls to clip their nails in public? Like a toenail?
No, it was someone just clipping their fingernails, but it was like on the airplane, and so that's
still annoying,
everywhere.
But man, if I ever saw an old man kick off his shoe and get after that big old yellow talon.
And you know they have to like dig into it with a little knife to get the ingrown toenail to pop out. On the list is also close talkers. We have a coworker, I won't say who, but always gets real close. Used to call it the LBJ method. Drivers who don't use turn signals. For me, what happened and pissed me off today is drivers who cheat and cut the line. Everyone has to merge, and then there's always that one car that goes that kind of slowly puts their blinker up next to everyone and then goes all the way to the front of the line and waits to get over.
You're supposed to go to the front of the line.
No, you're not. You're supposed to merge. You zip in and out. One car, another car. One car, another car. One car. You don't cut the line and go to the very front, thus blocking everyone else behind you who's trying to turn right.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
No, I'm confused what you're saying.
Let's say there's a right turn only lane.
Okay.
Okay, and approaching the light, the person in the right turn only lane, instead of merging into the left lane, they go all the way up to the front of the right turn only lane and then stop and then try to cut the line.
Well, that's different. That's not a merge. That's somebody in the wrong lane.
But they're doing it to cheat. They're not doing it because they said, oh, shucks, I'm in the wrong. No, they're trying to cut up.
Let's
not
confuse it with a merge lane that would be on a freeway. No, I believe that even if you come up to a red light and you realize, oh, it's a right turn only lane, I believe that you are morally obligated to take that right turn to not slow everyone down and then figure your way back into your other path. If you decide, hey, I don't want to be inconvenienced to take a right-hand turn, I don't know why it's okay to inconvenience everyone else behind me. I don't understand.
And it happens to us almost every day on I-35 taking that turn at Runbird, which is so frustrating and annoying. The next thing we deal with every day, slow internet. And last but not least, 10 things that are universally hated by everyone, Matt Bearden.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
I never thought nothing like this would happen to me. She just tried to run and hit me.
Oh, things have gotten much worse for a Newsmax White House correspondent who is recently suspended from Twitter.
Yeah.
It looks like she's also been suspended from Newsmax.
Wait. A Newsmax reporter was suspended from Twitter?
A Newsmax reporter was recently suspended from Twitter.
Why was she suspended from Twitter? Do we know that?
She made a tweet claiming that vaccines claim a bioluminescent chemical. Contained a bioluminescent chemical called something like Luciferian that can track you wherever you go and is the mark of the beast.
Okay. It seems a little out there, but if you remember yesterday, we watched a video of quite literally hundreds of people lined up on Dealey Plaza for the return of JFK Jr., who most of us believe died 20 years ago, but they were convinced that he was coming back, reappearing this week at 12:29 in the afternoon.
Which it looks like he didn't.
He didn't.
But apparently they're saying that JFK himself instead made a quick appearance at the Rolling Stones concert, which they all attended later on.
Okay, so she got banned from Twitter, and I'm sure that Newsmax probably claimed a lot of whatever happened to free speech, this is censorship, yada yada.
No, Newsmax says that they respect that vaccines work and are effective. They basically said that Twitter was correct in taking down her post, which the article then says peddled COVID-19 misinformation. Robinson, who's her name? What is her name? Emerald Robinson warned Christians that the vaccine, including the, like I said, bioluminescent Luciferianism, so you can be tracked. Make sure not to get this because they will be able to fine you. And if you read the Bible, it is the mark of the beast.
Why do you think Newsmax suspended her?
That's kind of bizarre, but it seems like they are taking the stance that, you know, the COVID vaccine works.
Yeah, I don't understand that angle because that's a 180 from the angle they've been taking.
Yeah,
I mean, I know why they've been taking it. They're out to, you know what I mean? They're a click magnet.
And she's the White House correspondent, so it's kind of crazy because she's the one that stands up to what's her name and always asks the off the wall questions.
There's something else going on though.
They said Newsmax strongly believes and has reported that the COVID-19 vaccines are safe and effective. We do not believe the vaccines contain any toxic materials or tracking markers, and such false claims have never been reported on Newsmax, even though it's kind of occasionally been reported on Newsmax.
I know this is supposed to be a people behaving badly segment, but I kind of am tipping my hat. I did not see that coming from that particular source.
No, not at all, because usually they kind of stick with their people and they're taking that very, I don't want to call it hard right, but free speech is absolute and we are the true and only free press. Censorship is terrible.
Sure.
And then she gets censored from Twitter, quote unquote, and then suspended from Newsmax. So, Emerald Robinson, we won't be seeing her at press conferences for a little while.
It may have been tied up somehow in the, you know, they were being sued for like $1 billion. And they were being sued by a company, and the company actually had the receipts. So, they may have, in whatever's going on in their court case, may have learned, like, hey, we need to kind of shape up our act here a little bit so that we don't actually get firebombed and turned into a glass parking lot when this is all said and done. I'm actually shocked. Yeah, dude, we got so her Twitter's gone, so we can't even see her be mad about all this.
No, but it looks like there's some stuff from 2020 that's still up on the internet.
Yeah, I don't care about that. Yeah. It'd be better.
It's what you imagine it would be.
I know, but I was hoping there might be like a little meltdown or something. Like the post breakup is always pretty magical.
That's when you get the anger.
Yeah.
Yeah. TBD. This is another people behaving badly.
101X, Matt and CJ.
It is time. Yes! 512-835-1015. That's the phone number if you want to win something specifically today. An actual pretty cool prize. Tame Impala tickets. They're doing the Germania Insurance Amphitheater this Sunday. 512-835-1015. A fun show. I'm glad we were able to steal a pair of those out of the ye old prize closet recently.
Yeah, I am too. We were digging around in there, and I said, what is that over there behind the ice chest?
The shiny thing.
What is it? And it turned out to be Tame Impala tickets. I don't know how they got hidden back there because they were shooting out lasers and had all kinds of light
good
show
music.
And good, really psychedelic images. Really fun.
A little better than the candy corn we were giving away. that's still at the front desk, and so are the McRibs. Hey, caller, who's this?
This is Mike.
Mike, welcome to the program. Hopefully you can win something.
Win
something.
Yeah.
And caller, who is this?
Raul.
Raul.
Hey, what's up, Raul?
Welcome. Are you excited to hopefully win something?
Hey, looking forward and ready to party, party, party.
Okay.
Whoa. That guy's got attitude. I like it.
Today we are going to play a game called Tame or Lame. I'm going to read you a cultural trend that is generally accepted by pop society, or is it considered out of date? Is it tame or lame?
Okay, I like this.
Okay, Mike, we are going to start with you. Is it tame or lame? Fanny packs.
Oh, lame.
Oh, no.
Sorry, dude. They've become tame again.
Dude, fanny packs.
They're still lame.
Fanny packs are actually in now. Switching over to you, Raul. Snapchat. Is it tame or lame?
Lame.
Correct. Snapchat now considered lame. 1 point for Raul. All right, Mike. Is he tame or lame? Joe Rogan.
Oh. Tame.
No, Joe Rogan is now. He is now considered lame, even though he has millions of followers. And
No, he's not still tame.
That's what the poll says, and he was even one of the first to start using the fanny pack again.
All right,
Raul, this one's for you. Close up magic.
Tame.
No
way.
That is correct.
This poll is broken, dude.
I thought the same damn thing.
Close up magic is the worst.
Apparently, close up magic is a great big dorky YouTube, TikTok, internet thing. I was very surprised by that. Mike, thanks for playing. Sorry, man.
Hey, Mike, I'll be with you not going to the concert because I wouldn't have gotten these either, bro.
Yeah, very surprising. Raul, you are a winner. But just to ask the last one, just to see if you could make it three in a row, Raul. Emojis, are they tame or lame?
Lame?
Yes! Emojis are now apparently considered lame, especially if you're an adult, even if you are using them unironically.
Wait, then how am I supposed to communicate anymore?
With your kids or anyone for that matter.
Yeah, no, I just got used to emojis.
I know. And now,
son of a.
Now we're not cool anymore.
What am I supposed to use? Am I supposed to be genuine?
Dude,
F that.
That's
F
messed that. Up. Congratulations, Raul. We're going to put you on hold. You are going to see Tame Impala very soon this Sunday. As a matter of fact, tomorrow, by the way, We will not have Tame Impala tickets because we'll be closed. But I just found out in our prize closet full of tricks, secrets, the vault of fun, we have tickets to Churches, which are also playing the 101X concert series at ACL Live. So if you didn't win today, tomorrow you'll have another chance to win!
I want to join you in a big sign. I'm really upset about emojis. I'm really upset about emojis. I love the lightning bolt.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
Turns out, Matt, you and everyone else shaming me are wrong.
Wait.
Very wrong.
Okay, my apologies.
Yeah,
I think
early in the week I mentioned how I decided to finally. Well, I was told by my fiance. Actually, I didn't decide crap. I was forced to go and get some wasp spray.
Right.
Because my non-lethal methods to take down paper wasps around my house weren't working.
May I ask a favor?
Yeah.
For people who weren't listening, could you probably, or please, go through a few of your quote-unquote non-lethal methods? By the way, whenever you're using a non-lethal method to kill wasps, you are not achieving your goal. It's right there in the term non-lethal.
Yeah, good point. Method number one, I thought if I get a stick, I have this, it's actually a pole, a sophisticated device I built to hang Christmas lights that enables me to be far enough away from the nests to when I knock them over to where I can drop the pole and run off.
Okay, that's a brave man's pursuit.
And once they calm down, I go pick up the pole again, knock down the next nest. Problem is they spray pheromones, so they know where their nest was, and they just rebuild it anyways.
Correct.
Doesn't take them long to do that. Well, then I thought, you know what? I'm going to get these little bastards with the water hose. Spray down their nests, spray off the pheromones, and you know what, buckaroo? Go find somewhere else to hang out.
One of my favorite things is that you said, quote unquote, they can't move in the water. I don't remember what was
they
it.
They can't fly when they're wet.
They can't fly when they're wet.
They cannot fly when they're wet.
Yeah. God, I wish you had saved it because we immediately got a phone call
from pest control Chris.
An exterminator.
Yeah.
Who laughed out loud at you.
Yes.
He was like, why wouldn't they be? So they just, when it's raining, they just are dead at that point?
No, they stay in their nest when it's raining. They don't risk it.
Wasps don't have the luxury of naps on a rainy afternoon.
Yeah, they do. They know they can't get out there. It's just like if you're a construction worker on the highway and you're supposed to dig a pit to fill with asphalt, you just can't do that when it's raining.
Okay, I won't distract you any longer. So those are some non-lethal methods.
And then a lot of people gave me crap for it, including my fiance. I mean, the terrible thing was I did all this 5 o'clock on Sunday, aggravated several giant wasp nests in front of my house right before the trick-or-treaters were out and about.
Yeah, so every kid that came to your house was immediately chased back down the street by angry wasps, which,
correct,
honestly, doesn't sound horrible.
Hey, dude, save me some candy in
there
the long
you go.
Run.
Exactly.
But I did a little bit of Googling after feeling ashamed and stupid for saying that paper wasps are we should keep them around, just like the bees. They're
you
good.
You were trying to say that they were wonderful animals, they're beneficial, and we needed to have more paper wasps, and you certainly didn't want to kill them. Was your take?
Turns out I am correct. I did a little bit of looking up, and paper wasps, just like bees, are great pollinators. Not good, but great pollinators, which is something that we need very much right now for our crops, our harvests, or even just our flowers or your local garden. Paper wasps feed on pollen, just like bees do, and help to do that.
I understand that. Quick question for you.
Yeah.
Are there crops in your yard?
I mean, I got some plants. I got a mint plant and a rosemary.
Mint plant.
Mint, yeah.
Mint.
Yeah. A mojito or something like that. You want to come over? Okay. Next, they hunt and kill to feed their little babies in the little coned wasp nest, their embryo, whatever that's called. They hunt
larva. I think that's the word you're looking for, larva.
They hunt grubs, caterpillars, and other things that kill your plants and kill your grass, eat your leaves of your crops.
You mean
chew holes in your lettuce that you're growing for dinner?
Were that not the caterpillars that were attacking your mint farm?
Well, not anymore. The caterpillars win. My mint's going to die this year. It's going to be a very brutal winter with some really bad breath at the old Morgan household.
God, what's going to happen when your friends from Miami come to visit and there's no mojitos?
What am I going to do? It also went on to say that though they do sting you, they are very rarely aggressive. They usually only attack if you are messing with their nests.
Oh, you mean like if you have a stick and you're knocking them down with a stick, or you're spraying them repeatedly with a hose? That kind of stuff?
Yeah, then they will attack. But if they're just hanging out under your roof, chilling, if you don't mess with them, they're not going to mess with you. Though their stings do hurt, it's not as bad as other little stingy animals. And it could cause some allergic reaction if you're allergic to bees and stuff like that.
And then
overall,
you die.
Paper wasps, not that bad. Here is one thing where I will admit I am absolutely wrong. I said that when you spray them with the poison, it is brutal and painful in the way they die.
Yes, that's what you said.
Turns out it's not. Turns out that one of the less than lethal ways I was using soap and water clogs all the pores in their body, freezes their wings to where they slowly suffocate because they are trapped in soap and water. So the point of all this is wasps are cool, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Cool.
I appreciate it.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Come on, Spinny. Join in.
Come on, Spinny. Let's go.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Spinnertainment.
Woo!
Spinny, did you ever get us a creaky sound so we could hear you coming out of the dungeon?
Yeah, I just didn't upload it.
Oh, okay, thanks.
I'll get it for you, sorry.
Yeah, no, I'll go screw myself.
Just like a big
please?
I'd love to watch.
No. God, there's like 20 different ones. I'm like, which one do I want? Hey, guys. I thought we could do another rip a read, but this is sort of a multiple choice thing. I've got four articles. Which one do you guys want to start with?
Ooh, choose your own adventure?
Yeah.
Okay.
This first one, Facebook learns there's another company named Meta already.
Okay, we nailed. We got that.
Whoops.
Yeah, that's okay.
Can we edit that out, please?
Yeah. Here, hit it. Nobody heard you say it.
Hey, yeah, that's just me doing my job listening to the show. Pizza Hut hits back after diner's complaint about its sexualized tomato sauce bottle.
We already got that too, man. Sorry. Go ahead.
Damn it. All right.
There's surely got to be something we haven't talked about.
How about this one? Homeless students.
Yeah, no, we got that too. We got that
serious?
Too. Yeah,
in California.
Yeah, that was a big one. Big one we already covered.
Well, surely, you know those hobos in Austin too.
Surely,
people from California move there.
The last one we won't have done.
Yeah, I hope so. Colorado man sets his home ablaze, clearing cobwebs with a blowtorch.
I'm going to be honest with you. I want to hear that, and we lied to you about the other ones. We hadn't covered them. Let's get into the blowtorch stuff.
Come on, guys.
You
sons of guns.
What?
Wait, are you sure I have Fitz in the Tantrum lined up again? We don't have to.
Okay.
Happened in Boulder, Colorado. A man is arrested after investigating. Whoa. He set his mother's house on fire trying to get rid of spiders, basically.
Oh, you said he set his own house on fire? He set his mom's house on fire?
Yes.
Oh, that's not that uncommon in my life, at least, because we kind of talked about my issue with wasps. Mm-hmm. Well, I had an ex-girlfriend, loved her very much, great person, but she worked late night at news stations and ate just like too much Adderall and would come home and be like, the bugs are everywhere. And I came out to let the dogs out one, like, I want to say morning, but it was probably like 3:30. And she has a spray can and a lighter and is on our all wooden back porch deck, just
Rorschaching it.
Going after bugs, which is very dangerous.
Never heard of anyone taking any kind of amphetamines and then burning the house down. Very, very rare. What happened with the homeless people in California?
It says homeless students at California College can now sleep in their parking or in their cars in the parking garage without getting towed or ticketed.
Nice.
I know.
That's good. That was a weird thing that happened at Texas State also. And then, of course, in hotels, as I learned last Friday night, that you can't sleep in the parking garage
in a
hotel downtown.
That's
so.
Not fair.
No. Come on.
You want me to drive my car when I'm
I was kind of stunned when I found out, they did an article when I was at UT, of the number of homeless UT students. They were going to class, trying to get their degree to get better or whatever, but couldn't afford to actually live in like apartments or whatever. So most of them weren't on the streets living in cardboard or what have you. They would live in their cars.
Just broke college students. Yeah.
But, yeah, it was the best they were doing.
So that's good.
Okay. What was the story before that? Because we didn't
Pizza
cover
Hut.
Oh, yeah. So what's a sexy Pizza
this
Hut bottle?
This one irritates me because it looks like this took place in the UK actually too. But Pizza Hut has these new ketchup bottles, and all they do is this guy just got upset, essentially, at the phrase on there, which says, hold on, what is the exact phrase? Shake, squeeze, and squirt. And he was real upset that it said the last word, which has historically been around, way before we started having sex. Now, it's just, this guy got all upset, went on social media, and Pizza Hut was, well, we're sorry if it offended you.
Our bad.
It's been around for like 2 years,
Shake, squeeze.
He wanted a full refund, too. He's like, man, I'm...
this is just a dude wants
just
free
being
pizza.
A little
B
word.
Complaining little B, exactly, exactly. And then what was the story before that?
Facebook learned there's another company called Meta.
Yeah, we really did.
Yeah, we did do that. Here's Fitz and the Tantrums again.
Here's Fitz and Tantrums.
Again.
Hey, I can't do it a third time, dude. You gotta move on. That song, please.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
So just kind of a throwaway story, but it looks like the Sopranos have come to Round Rock.
Yeah!
Yeah. Do you know what I mean by that?
A little bit of gabagoo?
Kind of. What was one of the... I don't know if you remember one of the famous industries that Sopranos were involved in, but it was... trash collection.
Okay.
Refuse collection. And Round Rock says they are looking into claims that the contractor that is controlling all the recyclables is taking the recycling and
dumping it
straight into the landfill. So when you read that, you're like, man, that's no good. That's no good. But then I started reading into the story because I thought, well, this could be funny, right? But then I looked in, there's a company called Central Texas Refuse. It's been picking up resident trash and now recycling in Round Rock for 30 years, right? So here's the deal, though. These reports are coming in. They're just taking everything and they're dumping it. Well, it turns out that they're getting ready to be offered a long-term exclusive contract, which would cut out some of the other...
The middleman.
No, it would cut out some of the other people who have... trucks that want to be able to go around and collect and get some dough. And there's a part of me that's like, wait a minute. I'm wondering, did somebody just call in some BS because they just want to create a situation? So then I just started imagining, like, where's the Satrial's Deli of Round Rock? Where do the guys hang out and then cut up the bodies in the back? In Round Rock.
Yeah.
Does it happen somewhere?
The docks?
No, dude. I want it to be like at the outlet mall or something. Just like...
Right behind the windmill downtown. Yeah, and the old Western barns that are around it.
There's not a whole lot to that story, not a lot of teeth. I just imagine this idea that there was like this heavily mobbed up area of
Round Rock.
Yeah.
I mean, we should probably shut our mouths, Paizan, because you never know. If there's money, there's a seedy underbelly somewhere.
We wouldn't want the rock to go square, if you know what I'm saying. You enjoy that?
Utes get a little height.
Yep. Tomorrow we have Churches tickets, I believe, we're going to give away. By the way, that's tickets to go see Churches and not tickets for you to go to church.
Sunday. You should do that on your own. As we encourage heavily here on Just Matt and CJ, prayer to our God, the one, Zarlok. we'll be back tomorrow. Catch the podcast if you want to listen to the show again. I don't know why in hell anyone would do that. At Just Matt and CJ on social media if you want to tell us sup.
Matt and CJ. Afternoons, 3 to 6, 101X.